Baker versus Carr, Gaffney versus Cummings, Gill versus Whitford. There have been many cases over the years related to population, districts, and gerrymandering that have reached the United States Supreme Court. During June, the High Court ruled that partisan redistricting is a political question not reviewable by the courts, and that those courts can't judge if extreme gerrymandering violates the Constitution. We'll begin with a monthly political update with Andy Downs from the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics. Andy Downs, welcome to WBOI Presents.
Thanks for having me.
How has political gerrymandering impacted Indiana politics?
Well, it's been impacting politics and the state since we became a state. Let's keep in mind that basically for a couple hundred years, political parties have been drawing the political boundaries. Initially, that was not so easy to do because we didn't have lots of data available, and it was hard to get people who could crunch large sets of data. But as technology has progressed, we actually have two sides of a blade here. We have, on the one hand, technology that makes it easier for us to draw maps that might be considered to be better maps in terms of meeting the criteria, but also makes it easier to draw the maps in a way that benefit one party over another, thereby helping to increase the likelihood one party will not only have a control of a legislature, but increase control of a legislature or hold it for a long time. The last time that the maps were drawn here in Indiana, the legislature made a point of going out and holding meetings around the state. They got input from people. What are you looking for? What's important to you? And people talked about keeping communities of interest together and drawing districts that were fair and, you know, not dividing up cities in strange ways or having funny shapes. What the maps look like is actually what a lot of people requested. In fact, I have put the pre and post maps up on a screen before and asked people, which map do you like better in terms of the visual? And people point to the current maps. And then at the same time, they will tell me they don't like those maps because they believe those are partisan maps or more partisan maps than previously. So that's, I think, a pretty good example of how the technology makes it easier to draw maps in a way that look like what people consider to be fair maps, but at the same time, when they look at the results of elections, allow people to say, wait a minute, maybe these maps are not the fair maps that they look like they are.
After the recent Supreme Court ruling, the issue has essentially been returned to the states. What are the chances Indiana courts or legislative chambers do anything to change the status quo? And the rule is parties in power get to redraw the districts. Why would parties in power change anything?
Yeah, there are 31 states right now. I think it's 31 states that allow the legislature to draw the maps. And they really don't have much of an incentive to change that. Historically, when the maps have been drawn by partisan bodies, they've not been drawn in a way that just completely throws the balance out. Yes, it throws the balance one way or the other. And we should be very clear, Republicans and Democrats do this. This is not something unique to one party. But the maps were always sort of close. But now people are thinking, well, that balance is no longer there. They're becoming much more heavily skewed in one party's direction or the other, whichever party happens to be drawing the boundaries. And when you say to state legislatures, when you say to political parties, draw maps, shocker, they're going to draw maps that benefit them. There are 9 states right now that have commissions. The one that is closest to us, or the one that people might be most familiar with, is in Michigan, where they just passed through a referendum, through a vote by the people, the creation of their independent commission, that will actually start drawing the next set of maps. For those who've been following this carefully, they know that Michigan's current maps are actually the subject of litigation. That litigation's obviously kicked back to the state courts like all the other litigation. But beginning with the next census and the next drawing of maps, they will be drawn by an independent commission. Until the legislature feels the pressure from the public to change the way the districts are drawn, the method by which they're drawn, they really don't have a whole lot of incentive to do otherwise.
I wonder if you could speak a little bit to how this decision could possibly hurt involvement in the political process. We hear with gerrymandering that it can depress voter turnout. What's the point if I'm a red vote in a blue district or a blue vote in a red district? The number of national congressional districts that are competitive is somewhere around 50. And it could hurt candidates too. If you're running in 2020 and lose, your opponent could have the opportunity to move your residents into a different district. If you wait until 2022, you could be up against an incumbent who just got to draw a favorable district boundary.
What we do know is that the best way to have turnout go up is to have exciting elections. That's actually the best thing that can be done. Everything else sort of works around the margins. By doing things, for example, elections by mail, satellite early voting locations, same-day voter registration, all of those things help, but they don't necessarily cause turnout to go up by massive amounts. If you want turnout to go up, look at making sure that elections are exciting. That's part of the reason that you hear people from both political parties saying that boundaries should be drawn in a way where there is not too much of a partisan advantage to one party over another. But that's fighting against the intention of both parties, which is to gain control. And so you can see where there's a conflict going on here. But if you want good elections, draw districts that are competitive so that you have exciting elections. Then you have good turnout.
You mentioned, I'm assuming, some of your students looking at maps of the different districts, whether it be comparing our current one to ones from the past. One last thought before we end our time. You teach political science. What are some thoughts you've heard from students over the years on this issue?
It's interesting. When you put maps up on a screen and just say, what do you think of this? I actually, for a while, was putting up a map that was approved by the courts. And students looked at it and said, well, that just makes no sense. Look at the way this district runs down to here and over to there. This was a map of North Carolina. Then I put up the map that was actually considered to be unconstitutional. And they see that and they say, oh my gosh, that's so much worse than the one that was approved. And then I say, well, you can see where this is an improvement then. But when you start thinking about the distribution of people throughout a state, when you start thinking about things like trying to have maybe majority-minority districts or doing the things that people say they want, keeping communities of interest together, you really find yourself in a position where maps are not going to have, they're not going to be nice, neat little pie-shaped districts or boxes or circles. They're always going to have kind of a strange shape to them. But it comes back to some fairly simple things. Most people want to see, obviously, equal distribution of population. Constitution requires that. People do not want to see races discriminated against, and obviously that's unconstitutional as well. After that, it's a bunch of wishes. We would like communities of interest to be kept together. We would like districts to be compact. We would like something that promotes competition. But none of those things are by themselves necessarily unconstitutional. What the court basically said was, partisan politics is not what we do. In other words, there is no good measure of partisanship or partisan politics that would allow us to say that X or Y is unconstitutional, the way distribution of race can clearly be considered to be unconstitutional. Until the courts see that, they're probably going to continue to say, this is about partisanship and that's a state issue, that's a legislative issue at either the federal or state level, not our deal.
Andy Downs of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.